Yeah, so I said, "You want to go first?" You said, "No, but just don't give my prophecy." You know, there's some prophetic theft that does go on. I got a word. Oh. How you guys doing? I prophesied over your daughter.
You did?
What was her name? Maya, right? Right. Is she here? Where is she? Brother, there's a call on you. God's given you an endurance. There's a call on you to run. You have a quick mind, and you have an ability to process a lot of information quickly. You just got this thing. You don't need a lot of downtime in between things that are going on. It's like I see you juggling a lot of balls at the same time. And I could do that when I was 30, but I can't do any of that now. But God's got a call on you to do this. There's a leadership call on you, but it's a leadership call to get things done. So it's like there's an executive call. Executive meaning the person that has to get something to execute a plan. That's you. And you like a plan. You like clarity. But when you hear a problem or need, the whole solution set, what has to be done and in order, goes bing. You know that's unusual. Do you know that's unusual? You may not. That's unusual. That's a gift from God for you. God puts people in the body of Christ and puts people in the world to help get things done. And it's one thing to have a wish or an idea, but going from an idea to a conclusion and an execution and a plan finished is a wonderful thing. So that call is on you. And I just want to just shake your hand and say, first, we release a divine enablement. David prayed, "Lord, let the work of my hands increase." And we let me have both your hands. Or can I just have his hand for a minute? No, I'm sorry. You hold the microphone. Yeah. Well, she was holding on to his hand.
She meant both. I thought you meant both.
She was fighting. Okay. So. We bless, like David's prayer. Somebody could look that up. It's in the Psalms somewhere. And somebody, Al should know it. But. Now, I would die if he really did. I would, Lord, increase, pray, Lord, increase the work of my hands. Father, increase the work of this man's hands. Lord, take his work and the ability you've given him, but increase it in a supernatural way that the Spirit of God would cause growth to come out of everything this man does. And Lord, so that he would be known as the solution man. When there's a need, give it to him so that it would grow and prosper and benefit many. And brother, there's an ability, an anointing, an energy, or a blessing in you to bless a lot of people, to give people jobs, to make jobs, to how cause things to grow. All this is in you. It will not be just you giving to somebody else. It's going to be you making a plan that grows up into something that employs people and makes provision for a lot of families. It's the call of God on you. And brother, addition to that, with everything you're doing in this solution set and getting these things done, there's also a word of God in your mouth. Not preaching, just giving a word, like a word of wisdom or something that's just at the same time like throwing corn in well-tilled ground. And you meet constantly people that have need, that haven't pressed through, don't know how to break through. You all the time, but they're because of their struggle, that's like fresh plowed ground. And you come along and throw a little seed, God's going to take care of that. Bam, it's going to hit their plowed ground because of suffering and prayer. It's going to grow up and do something you're not responsible for and don't have control over and don't have to plan it yourself. But there's a fruitfulness that's going to come out. Fruitfulness. Did I say that right? Fruitfulness. It's going to come out. Okay? Does that make sense? And listen, there's a well of mercy in you. Mercy is when you're not afraid to look at someone suffering. And it's also, mercy is not when you're need for everything to be perfect in the person you're looking at. Mercy flows no matter what they're doing. It's going to flow. And so there's this thing in you that wants to fix or help people that are suffering in some way. So people like you make good doctors. They make good nurses. And they make good prophets. And they make good teachers. Because the desire is to mend the hurt out there. This is a spiritual gift of mercy, okay? So it comes from heaven, and it's supernatural. It's not just feeling good. It's not being a Democrat or Republican. It's not any of that stuff. It's from heaven, and it's supernatural. So can we release that? Can I just, you believe this? You already know this is true? So it's already there. Okay, well, that's it. We can just quit, can we? Okay, so can I then augment it? All right. You think this is right? Yeah. Wow. That can be a little intimidating because she has a level of mercy that you and I wouldn't have. Huh? Yeah. I live with that. Yeah. But I figured out since God put me with her, I just bask in the glory and get some of the credit. I don't ever say anything, but I get a little bit of credit. Oh, you're married to Gloria. So, does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Is this okay? All right. All right. Listen, I just want to say over the two of you and over your home, widen your borders. God's going to give you a bigger house. He's going to give you a place where you can invite people in, where you can have parties, you can make cookies. And have people in. You can have people in to stay the night. That God's going to give you more because He's destined you to be a family that grows other families. And people are going to be drawn to you. And they're not going to be drawn for problem solving. That's work. But there's something else God's going to do in your home between the two of you and with your children. You got one child? Is that three? We just barely. Do you see that college degree on his head? I do. I see a college degree on him. Yeah. What's your name, dear? I couldn't hear.
Cammie.
C-A-M-M?
It's Camille.
Oh, okay. Camille. That's like a southern name. Lord, we just pray over this family and, Lord, over this home. Lord, this is a place of hospitality and grace. And, Lord, a place of healing. And, Lord, of clarity of thought. Brother, I just see you talking to people and their brain's going to get clear. Their thinking has been cloudy. Cloudy thinking is going to come in. But there's like a clarity. And oh, that's what that is. That aha moment about the Holy Spirit is just in your home and around both of you and your children. And this is a good tribe. And Lord, just pray your blessing on them. College degrees, I just, on that kid's head over there, just sort of hanging around, caught in his hair. He's going to have a sticky brain. He's going to learn things. It's going to stick. We fall out of my brain in 10 minutes. It's going to stick over there. Okay. Thank you, Father. I think that's it. You need to make sure y'all go on vacations. That's important. Once in a while, you need to go somewhere you hadn't been and chill out, rest some. There's like a well in you that a tank of fuel, and you're constantly draining it out and running things. But once in a while, God wants you to stop and refill the tank with fresh fuel. Amen.
I knew I should have gone first. No. Oh, yeah.
This is, may the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes. Establish the work of our hands. Psalm 90, verse 17. Isn't that nice? That's a multi-generational promise.
Yeah. That's the one we put on our wedding bulletin. It was on our little bulletin. the Lord showed me that you, tell me your first name again. Daniel. That you got offered counterfeit masculinity. And at some point when you encountered him, you made a very definitive decision that it was false. And that the way to be a victorious man was surrender. And you surrendered it all. The way up was down. Somehow the paradigm of the kingdom got deposited into your heart in revelation about what it is to be a man in the kingdom of God. And it's revelation. To you now, it's just an operating system and it informs what you do. But you need to lay hold of it in a discipleship way. Whatever he did to you that got hold of you, that made you recognize the lie of masculinity that comes after men in the world and hijacks them young. It didn't get mileage on you. There's a revelation. You made decisions about who you were going to be and who you were not and what it meant to be a man and a husband in the kingdom. And you need to lay hold of it in a way that you can communicate it, that you can lay tracks for someone else to die to that lie and come alive in the truth of what it is to be a man of God. I see you sitting. I see men, like Michael was saying, young men at the point of decision, finding you like a magnet, like you can't shake them. They must be near you because the lie's after them. And they're trying to stand up under false masculinity. And their soul is looking for the truth, and they will be drawn to you like a moth to a flame. You will not be able to shake them, and you need to know what they're after. You need to already have laid hold of it and be able to recognize them when they come. But I see you sitting knee to knee with them while they break and letting them break, letting them die right in front of you, and you kill that thing with them. Tell them it's God. And you resurrect them and induct them like a fraternity, like boys to men. And you show them what it is to be a man in the kingdom of God. They're missing right now. They're missing. And God's given you keys of revelation to grow an entire fraternity of boys to men in the truth of the kingdom, what it means in the kingdom of God. And he calls you guys an access point. An access point for men that would have never touched marriage with a 10-foot pole, but they'll see it in your home and they'll realize that their highest and their best is interdependence, not independence, but they're deficient without a helpmate. And they'll ache for it, they'll long for it, and there'll be marriages in existence for years to come. Men that made a decision because they were in your house, because you made them hungry again. Because they longed for the right things to represent Christ in the church in the land of the living. And I bless you to it. Bless you to it. Father God, we thank you that your enemy doesn't get to define masculinity, that it was your idea. You made them male and female according to your design, and it's healthy and it's resurrected. And in the kingdom, you advance it forward in the earth to represent Christ in the church. According to your design. And I thank you that this one didn't ingest the lie of masculinity the world fed him. And there's a revelation of what it is to be a man in the kingdom of God inside of him. I bless him to lay hold of it in an instructive way. Lay tracks that they know what books to read, exactly how to kill the lie that's coming after them, and surrender and be made a warrior and a man according to the design of God Almighty. And I bless them to that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Some strong masculine words from a powerful woman like you. That's pretty cool. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Amen. Sitting over there, I kept hearing the word coach. You're a coach. You got coaching in you. And I think these prophetic words, like how you're going to influence young men, is through coaching. And do your kids play sports? Any of your kids? Yeah. get close to the coaches, and then you're going to be doing some coaching yourself. You do it anyway. You run up and down the sidelines anyway, like a maniac. Like it's like you know. There's that. There's this coaching in you. This foresight into what should be done. And you were coached at one time, and you've had good coaches, and you've had some you didn't like so much. But at the end of it, you understand the power of coaching. We use that word even in the kingdom now, coaching pastors, coaching leaders. But coaching is good. I mean, our head coach is Jesus, right? He is the coach. he led a group of 12, and you're going to be coaching, and you're going to have influence. And God's going to use the things you really like. I think you like sports. You have a sports mind. You're going to use analogies like that because it's used all over the world. And there's going to be some other things that God is going to begin to release unto you. Jesus is king, right? There was a time, brother, for you, cash was king. And we all laugh and say, it was for a lot of us because it's the number one thing that competes for lordship. Jesus said you can't serve two masters. And he wasn't talking about other things. He's talking about money and God. That's it. Those are the two masters that we have a choice. Because money can get you stuff. Money has power. And there was a time that you were attracted by that as a young man. I think we all were. It's kind of like, I just got to get ahead, got to get a good job, got to make money. But, you know, and God has just really released you from that. And that's part of this kind of re-imaging and the new identity you had to take on. And you realize, you know what? If I serve the master, then I can master money. And I tell you what, God's going to begin to open the windows of heaven for you. Tithing was not an easy hurdle for you. But you did it. It took the step of faith. And as you began to sow, God's begun to just open the windows of heaven. There's a crack here and there, but he's opening it even more. Here's the thing about sowing and reaping. You don't always reap when you sow. You don't even reap where you sow. But the Bible says, if you sow, you will reap. You're coming into a reaping season. I think you felt like, where's the reaping? We're sowing. God says, trust me. He's the God of the seasons. There's some financial breakthrough, and I think the word about a house and some other things, there's some domestic things that need a little upgrade, and it's going to take, guess what? Money, yes, and God's got plenty of it, but God says, I'm testing your hearts. God's just testing your hearts, and he's saying you're passing. God doesn't grade on a scale. It's just pass or fail, and guess what? You're not going to fail. So you're going to pass. That's called the walk of faith. You're growing in faith. If you just look back, I feel the Lord just says, look back just a couple of years where you were and where you are now. Well done. There's more to come. Sister, there's business in you. I think you're a whiz on the computer, more than you even want to admit. In fact, you have a kind of a superpower you don't let other people know about because they're going to come after you and say, can you do this? Can you help me do this? And it's like, I'm not going to let them know what I can really do. But I'll tell you what, there's some kind of a business, an online business type thing that you're going to do that's just going to generate another source of income, an income stream that's going to come. I don't even think you have to leave your house. I think you can do it from home. God wants to bless your abilities there. God's going to bless you, man of God. I think together in unity, this power of unity, Michael was starting the service off tonight with this power of unity. And this coming into agreement and believing and praying together and trusting God. And God forbid, use the word budget. It's not a dirty word. Amen. Where's that in the Bible? I don't see budget in the Bible. Well, there's stewardship. That's in the Bible. Being a good steward of God's things. And as you continue to steward what God gives you, there's going to be an increase in your budget. Now, start in the faith first. That's another thing. If we're hearing Michael, the unity that comes, that produces faith. And I think from this night forward, God says, I want you to trust me for more. Get into the unity of the faith together. Say, we're just going to believe God. And sister, you're really good at lists anyway. So brother, let her make her lists and just agree. Say, that looks good to me, honey. Yep. You don't have the power to edit. You just have the power of agreement, though. Say, yep, that looks good to me. So just get a list and pray over it, because God wants to build a powerful testimony of his provision, because you're going to be helping other people do it. You're going to help other people walk over that hurdle, okay, of giving. It's a tough one because it touches our heart, not our wallet. God's always going after the heart. Where your treasure is, guess what? It's not where your wallet is. It's where your heart is. It reveals the heart. And this is part of your coaching. This is some of the things you're going to do. Now, you have a son, right? Mm-hmm. Is that what Michael was talking about? Yeah. Not only has he got adeptness in scholasticism and learning, there's a call in his life for ministry. Don't put him in a box, though. Don't put him in a ministry box. Don't put him in a 2025 ministry box, because by the time he's ready to take steps into ministry, it's going to be so different than what we are experiencing now. He's called to his generation, and ministry is going to be highly technical, and it's going to be powerful. It's going to have a lot to do with media. He's going to be a whiz with media. He probably loves when you get on the computer and just probably wants to get on it. He thinks he can almost program it himself, and he probably can. But God's going to use him in technology and how to reach multitudes. Not an old crusade form like we used to see. There's such a powerful release of the gospel over the airwaves. Our frequencies are changing. They're constantly. And with AI, we don't even know. The frequency of our proclamation is speeding up. There's such a speed up system. And there's ways we can penetrate prior boundaries and obstacles of the gospel into unreached people groups. And he's just going to be on the cutting edge at a young age. And so let him run with it, but give him boundaries, but let him run at a young age. Let him explore. Get familiar with technology so you can protect your kids, because, you know, the devil likes to get his fingers in anything God is introducing in the world to proliferate the gospel and speed up the end. So just guard that. Yeah, amen. Guard your hearts together. This is a night of great unity for the two of you. Nothing wrong. It's just God says, I'm going to put a little extra dab of glue between the two of you. Amen. Because listen, this is for everybody. The devil's been defeated. Amen. All right. But he hasn't given up yet. He can't be defeated, but he can bring division. That's his number one tool. He knows he can't win, so he will divide. And guess what he goes for? Number one, marriages. And I just want to speak over the two of you. Unity. Fight for it. Believe for it. Protect it. Do whatever it takes. Because if he can't divide you, then the power of unity is going to continue to take you places you didn't even think you could go. But this is a new night and a new launch for you and your family. There's going to be plenty of provision for the education, as Michael picked up from the Lord. There's going to be provision for your children's education, for sports. My goodness, sports cost money. So, all these things cost, all right? But God has plenty so that you can reach a lot of people. God sends you out of here, just like Michael was saying. Get your hands full of people. Invite them into your home. Get people around you. And God's going to use you powerfully for the harvest.
That was good. Could you extend your hands out to this family? Jesus, we thank you, O Lord, for the power and the authority and the confirmation that comes from your word. And Lord, we just ask, O Lord, that you be glorified in that which is said, O Lord, in the deep recesses of our hearts and in our minds, and let us be a people of faith that trusts you at your word and to walk out every expression of it. All to the glory of your name. All God's people said, amen.